Hiya, it's the Concrete Rose Sunny Kiss here, and I am asking you to go ahead and tune in to The Wrestling Purists. They're on all streaming platforms for podcasts. They talk all things wrestling. And, you know, if I'm endorsing it, you know it's Sunnylicious. So go ahead and check out The Wrestling Purists. You won't regret it. Mwah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling Purists podcast. Welcome back to another retro review. My name is Ryan, as always, being joined by the hitman himself. It's Jeff.
Hello, hello.
So I did an episode of the podcast this week and talking about the weather that we got, and you know, we easily got a foot of snow across the region, and we got 14 inches here. Jeff, how you holding up over there on your side of town?
I was just about to ask, hopefully everybody's safe from, well, at least in our area on the eastern side, DC, Maryland, Virginia, the little mini snowmageddon that we had. We're doing all right. We lost power Monday at 7 a.m. We got it back Saturday at about 2 o'clock, so we had to take our show on the road and pack it up and go to my dad's for a week. It was good. It was fun, good quality time, but there's definitely nothing like being in your own home. I realized that family time was really good, but I also realized that, you know, race, creed, gender, money, you know, putting your feet up on your own couch is putting your feet up on your own couch.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So I actually worked on Monday. I was driving in as it was starting to come down a little heavier. You know, my wife tells me, "Oh, you should just call out, don't go in." I'm like, "Well, nobody else is going to be there. It'll be a pretty easy day." And so I'm driving, and the roads are already gone to hell. And so I call my place of business, and not my boss picks up, but it's like, "Oh, okay, just be safe getting in here." Super nice, you know, and so she forgot to tell my boss I wasn't going to be on time. So I get there, my boss is super chill, just glad I'm there in one piece. And she goes, "If I would have picked up the phone, you could have just stayed at home. I would have told you to turn around." So come later in the afternoon, I'm driving home in a foot and a half of snow on the back roads of Stafford County, Virginia. Yeah, trying to traverse my way to get home. It took me about 5 hours. We didn't get stuck on I-95 like the rest of those jokers. So,
my wife's mom, my mother-in-law, for whatever reason, you know, they live in the Salem Fields area, but they went on 95 to get to pick up something to eat. And they were on 95 from 8 o'clock until about 1 o'clock the next day. I said, "I don't understand why. You live by Salem Fields. Just go over there where everything is and pick you up something there." I had no idea. It was absolutely insane. When we get together, Kyle, I'll show you some pictures and videos of like 17, like by my way. It looked like not post-apocalyptic because of snow, but I mean, it just looked like, you know, like Midwest, you know, like uncharted, snowy. It was wild. It was insane. It was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful. But then, you know, I'm driving home and I'm starting to realize I'm like one of like maybe a dozen cars in a row because everybody else was smart and got a hotel or parked their cars or, you know, got somewhere warm and safe. And I'm just here just putting along like, But it's crazy though, because we were out of power for about 12 hours because, you know, I have a 3-year-old, obviously. So my dad, who has power out in spots, he came to pick us up. And by the time he came to pick us up and we got over to their house, about a half hour later, we got power back. So it's like, I kind of want to go home, but I don't want to traverse anything else. I'm kind of over it.
Nothing wrong with that. Luckily, my car is heavy duty and ready to go. So, you know, we got up out of here relatively easy. But I don't know. Again, I think, you know, the world of hustle and bustle and two schmucks talking wrestling, family's important. And then on top of that, you know, we all complain about how we have this, we have this bill, we have that, we want to buy this, we didn't get this, we need this. And then nature's just like, okay, well, here, hold my beer, and here's 15 inches of snow. You know what I mean? So shack up, you know, make some babies, or, you know, do whatever you're doing, because, you know, I'm just going to ruin my ugly head and show you how insignificant, you know, you know, people really, not people, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, how tiny you can feel when nature's involved.
Yeah. So putting that image of I-95 back in your head of all the cars jammed in just one single solitary area, it almost seems like there's a crowded ring of just professional wrestlers. That's why we're talking about the Royal Rumble today. From the year 2002, this is the first Rumble after the invasion. This is one of the it's considered to be one of the better Rumbles. It is one of the more purchased pay-per-views. And I know that WWE nowadays is calling them premier live events, putting that in quotations, because now they're on Peacock. But back in the day, you had to put events. Back in the day, in 2002, you had to fork over $49.95 to get something like the Royal Rumble. So obviously, this is a pretty big stacked card. We've run the ropes here, I think, of 2000s or at least early 2000s professional wrestling. Anything outside of what we've already kind of talked about as far as post-invasion professional wrestling in WWE?
I think that this is just a time in society where people are just more relaxed and everybody's kind of open to a lot of things, and the bubble of offendedness is not upon us in these. I mean, I know it's not, I lived it, but in these times. And again, like we always say, going back to look at these shows, wrestling's never going to be bigger than it was. And pick your era, I guess, you know, because there's some people don't like Attitude Era, and that's completely fine. The Attitude Era actually killed the business, but we can get into that another day. But but you just, again, we like to harp on this stuff. Just look at the crowd and how hard they pop on some of this stuff. And it's not just men. You know, I'm sure there were demos back here, but it was just old fashioned people coming to wrestling. There's kids, there's moms, there's grandparents, there's, you know, it's just, there's everybody at these shows. You know, when we go back and look at these older shows, and that's even, you know, obviously 70s and 80s, all the way up to the 2000s. It's just, I just miss all of this. You know, the wrestling can be the wrestling. That's whatever, you know, your cup of tea is your cup of tea. I just miss the fanfare, like the legit fanfare, but that's
about generic. They're not the generic. It's just the wholesome moments, the true wholesome moments that you get from like an actual pop, you know, and from like one that comes to mind is like, you know, Ron Simmons winning, you know, the world title, you know, just that kind of emotional response and reaction. And I completely understand that. And I think that I think a good example that I can give you that you would understand would be when we go to Next Gen, when we go to Knoxville, because we went to three shows there.
Four altogether. I think we did three down there and then one up here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So we did three shows down there, but every time we go, we see a lot of the same people and a lot of that same, like, looking at, like, that family atmosphere. I think you've got kids, you've got teenagers, you know, you've got us, old, older folk, you have purists, you have non-purists. It's a very wholesome environment, I think. And
people don't want to hear this, but believe it or not, everybody, wrestling's actually better the less you know. You know what I mean? Social media is social media, and I'll be dead in the ground one day, and there'll be a time where there's people walking the world, this earth, where they'll never know what life was without social media. And I understand that. But, you know, when you open up that and you show people's, like, personal lives, and again, there's nothing wrong with it. But as it pertains to wrestling, it's actually better the less you know about said person's life and this and that, and their dog and their cat, and you know, the one ending, and that's just my opinion. I can't speak for everybody, but
let's dive into this. Let's see what we've got in our hands. We got six matches on the card, including the main event, which is the titular Royal Rumble. But we will start with the WWF Tag Team Championship match. It is Spike Dudley and Taz defending against Bubba Ray and D-Von. And then you have with them the Duchess of Dudleyville. That would be Stacy Keibler. I thought this was an okay opener. It was quick. It didn't feel like it got really like going, but at the same time, it had a purpose to it. Did you get that vibe?
Yeah, I was waiting for it to turn the corner, and it never did, which was fine. You know, it wasn't a stinker. But yeah, Spike Dudley in his neck brace and all his glory, Stacy Keibler with, you know, kayfabe, maybe the world's longest legs, I believe. but yeah, she's taking bumps. The Dudleys are the Dudleys. You know, this is a time too where, going back and watching this, I just felt so sad for Taz because he's here and he's in a, you know, and nothing I haven't seen before, but he's in the full blown like pants and top and he looks like a plumber or something like that. No knock on plumbers, but I'm damn near a plumber myself, but I don't know. It's just so far removed from the FTW Taz that I don't know. That just was an absolute shooter nightmare that, you know, half the people in the audience would feel tough and say, you know, you're this, you're that, and MF this, MF that. But if you seen him at the gas station, you would say, hey, Taz, how you doing? You wouldn't have that same energy. And just to see him here, it's just rough. God, I just missed the Taz of old, ECW Taz.
Yeah, this is pretty much his last run, though. Really,
it wasn't a lot.
No, and he had injuries starting to rack up, and it was definitely a fall from grace, I think, when you look at the grand scheme of things. And I think it can be more compared to a flash in the pan more than anything. And not that Taz isn't a good professional wrestler or wasn't a good professional wrestler. It was look at where you were at in the time of professional wrestling, and now you're with WWE, and their prototypical look. And I think we'll get to this kind of in the Rumble match, but the eventual Royal Rumble winner, you did your homework, you already know who wins. But seeing who eventually wins it, that's the prototypical like look I think they're going for. And
it's sad because, again, he's a guy that's probably 20 years too soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
If he was out now, I mean, he would be amazing. If he was in your 70s and 80s, even 90s, you know, but here, well, I mean, he was in the 90s, you know, don't get me wrong, but I mean, this WWE landscape now, yeah, he never had a fighting chance.
Yeah, and I'll go one step further. I would have loved to see him if it weren't for nagging injuries. Early days of the pure division, I think he would have been a guy that would have fit right in. And honestly, can't blame him for sticking around though. If you're, I mean, you're a part of the, you know, juggernaut that is WWE. You're getting a paycheck, and then you're going to transition into commentary. You know, and honestly, Taz is one of the best things about commentary on Freaking Rampage every week. Not to say that, you know, Excalibur is horrible. You know, he's not Michael Cole-esque. But he's probably one of the best doing it right now, honestly. And he's been doing it for how long? 15 years? As far as color commentating? Give or take. But back to this match. Like we said, it's a decent match. Like you said, Stacy takes a bump. Spike hits an acid drop. Well, he tries to hit an acid drop on D-Von, but he throws him out of the ring. Taz locks in the Taz mission on D-Von. Quick tap out. Like I said, solid opener. I think it was more to get the crowd going than anything. But yeah, totally fine.
Yeah, good match. Well, solid match.
Solid match. We get video footage of William Regal taking out Edge and Rob Van Dam with the brass knuckles. And then they have a back and forth now between William Regal and Edge, leading up to their Intercontinental Championship match. The champion at the time is Edge. Edge is kind of the, I wouldn't say heel, but he's trying to try to get into more of a serious role.
Yeah. He's making that transition to, I can be funny, but now I want to be legit. And not that he wasn't legit in the ring, but I mean, you're right. Yeah, you have to be right. Yeah, I want to be taken seriously.
Yeah. I have a feeling you really loved this match, so go ahead and start.
So I did enjoy this match. It's not that I'm not an Edge guy, but William Regal, again, for me being probably the purest of the purest, just his work is so good. You can look at his stuff through history, and it all looks the same in the good way, and it all looks good. You know, he's not doing any hokey BS. He uses his tactics. It's just great. Now, there was a ref bump where the ref decided to throw himself in front of William Regal and take a spear. That's definitely, you know, maybe at the end of the year we need to write some things down and we can do the best ofs or you know the purious, you know what I'm saying, and give out some pure words. But
yes,
that ref bump was just awful.
Fantastic.
But the match is good, and the match was good. Yeah, William Regal using his brass knuckles, giving him a good stiff left hand because he's a left-handed gentleman. And it wasn't some weird, like, well, I've got to look at these and make sure you know and draw it all the way back past my head, punch you with it. Nope, I'm just going to give you a stiff left and it's over with. It was great. It was great.
Yeah, I think start to finish, both guys told a really strong story. Like you said, the ref bump's pretty inexcusable. It's pretty rough when you're looking at it and you're like, you just jumped in it. it wasn't very natural. But I do like how we go through these periods of professional wrestling where you know, there's a where there's a heel and they're using a foreign object a lot. So then the referee, they'll show us on camera of the referee, like, you know, checking their boots and checking their knee pads and all that. This is one of those times where Nick Patrick finds the brass knuckles. This is when the king says, what's fair about another man sticking his hands down your pants? That's got to throw William Regal way off his game.
2000s. Well, and Nick Patrick's is in prime Nick Patrick form, you know, in the rest of the pay-per-view as well.
This is very technically sound from start to finish. There is a Waffle House reference in this match also that I wrote down. Edge would like to work on that nose of Regal, maybe scattered, covered, smothered, and chunked before it's all over with. Then the king responds, what? Smothered and chunked? And JR says, that's a Waffle House reference. Just the natural chemistry between these two on commentary is just so... This is part of the reason why I like going back to watch these early 2000s shows with them on it. There's just very natural back and forth.
Yes. And you know, we're kind of doing, you know, stuff in eras and this, that, and the other. But again, the wrestling's not, you know, on par. But if we start getting into some of those mid-80s and late-80s, early 90s, Vince Ventura, Bobby the Brain, Gorilla Monsoon. I'm sure we'll get to those at a later date, but yeah, that's also another thing that's awesome to get into once you start getting down on some of these old pay-per-views.
But like you said, Edge gets the power of the punch with the Nux from the Southpaw. We have a new Intercontinental Champion. And then checking off the box, 3 for 3 on the quotes for this match, JR says, would a nose by any other name smell as sweet? And Regal's nose smells the Intercontinental Championship.
Look at there.
So then Michael Cole asked William Regal how he can justify how he won the match, and he thanks the man upstairs for gracing him with the power of the punch. Just
love me some Regal.
Gosh, you know, this is prime Regal too. This is now I'm pretty clean, because late 90s. And you know, was a rough time for Regal, and not.
He's a man.
He's a man. God bless. We're gonna have to look at when we get to Survivor Series. So when we get back to November, we're gonna have to do Deadly Games tournament because he's in that. As the real man's man. All right, on to our next contest. It is the WWF Women's Championship match as Trish Stratus defends against Jazz. We have Jacqueline as the special guest referee. This is I don't want to say it's your typical women's match of the early 2000s. I would say it's good for what they were given. And when I say that, it's you're given 4 minutes of screen time when, you know, it's by far the shortest match in this entire card, especially when we're ready to get into what we're going to get into. But everything's really well done here. Give them twice the amount of time, you know, and this could be good to great.
And I think that, well, obviously in hindsight, we know that's the problem, but some of these things were bad. But again, just like you hit on, if you only give somebody, I mean, if you know every time you go out there to wrestle or do whatever you do in your job or get to show whatever that talent is in said job, if you know everybody else is going to get 15, 16, 10, and you're getting six, well, I mean, now you're just trying to fit, you know, 10 pounds of, you know what, in a 5 pound bag, you know, and yeah. It just, it's not going to be good. It's just not, you know, so I think that's, again, that's, and we've touched on it before, and this match kind of suffers from that. But like you said, for what it is, it's not bad at all. And Jacqueline wasn't actually that bad as a ref. I thought she was going to be awful. I mean, she was kind of, her acting, you know, wasn't the greatest, but she wasn't bad though. She was all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Not bad at all. Trish does hit the Bulldog, gets the win, retains. Like I said, solid match. Obviously, hindsight's 2020. But we'll take what we can get. So then we go right into the street fight. And this has got a little bit more oomph to it. As we have co-owner of the WWF, that would be Vincent Kennedy McMahon, taking on the co-owner of the WWF, that would be the Nature Boy himself, Ric Flair. this is exactly what you think it's going to be.
One, Vince McMahon is absolutely yoked. I mean, just absolutely yoked. And I mean, I'm not surprised. I remember him this way. I just hadn't seen him in a long time this way. Kyle, do you want to, can you fact check, what, you know, how old he is during this, you know, 2002?
Flair?
No. Vince.
Oh, Vince. Okay.
Yes. So, yes, this match, like Cod said, it's exactly what you thought it was going to be. Vince is Vince, and I've said this before, and people, you know, can say whatever they want. Did Vince also kill the business? And we get into that about buying territories and doing this, doing that. Yeah, sure. But listen, if Vince doesn't do all that stuff, I don't know where wrestling's going to be, but it's definitely in somewhat of a better place than where it's at now, you know. And again, I'm not condoning everything he did, but, and we can get into that for a later day, but it's just weird that you go back and you watch a match like this and it's Vince McMahon versus the Nature Boy Ric Flair, like the staple of the AWA and the WCW and Jim Crockett Promotions and all this stuff, the traveling champion. And in 2002, he's wrestling Vince McMahon, who may have done the biggest heist / inside job plot to get to return a broadcast and, you know, stuff with Ole and all this stuff to set emotion and pay-per-views and how we even got the Royal Rumble because of the, what was it called? The Bunkhouse Stampede or whatever that.
Yeah.
Hey, don't run this match. Hey, you can have this, my Royal Rumble for free. Just don't show this other match. Everyone's too busy to be ever again. Mm-hmm. So you tie all that stuff into this match. And it's just, you know, from a purist like myself, just wild to see Vince McMahon wrestling, you know, the Nature Boy Ric Flair, who is the greatest wrestler of all time.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. Also, too, this fun fact, if you guys didn't know this, that Vince McMahon took the first selfie here, too. Just throwing that out there. That's what we call a joke, everybody. Don't at me.
What's it, you, Kyle? Yeah, this was good. And I think the tone of the Vince McMahon matches during this period in time, because he was pretty active in the ring. He was leading a lot of these matches. He was taking the male steps as whoever he was facing was taking the lady steps. If I'm using dance terms,
yeah.
he was controlling a lot of this match. And I don't think the 15 minute time mark on this match, I'd say over half of this match is either Vince in control or Vince just kind of meandering about and Flair helping him get to where he's got to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it works. And again, Vince McMahon is by no means a wrestler at all. He's terrible. His footwork is terrible. I mean, he looks good, but he's just someone you want to punch because he's a really good heel. He is one of the greatest heels of all time. He is. You know, you can argue, you know, as soon as you start putting, you know, owner, heel, you know, whatever, that, you know, that ruins wrestling. And that's fine. It does. But if you just talk about Vince McMahon, the heel, I mean, he's great. And in this role, he's great.
Yeah. There were rumors around this time also that Ric Flair was lacking a lot of confidence as far as his in-ring work goes. That's not a valid source, but just reading some of the background for this, and he was just lacking confidence in his in-ring work during this time in his career. So I almost want to say that's why Vince was in control as much as he was, but
I know that's a thing because he said that, you know what I mean? I just didn't know that just this pay-per-view was it. And you know what, looking now since you say that, that actually makes sense because I was watching this thinking, not that Flair looked right because they didn't look right because he's not a guy that's flipping and doing this and doing that, but he just kind of didn't look, I don't know, he almost didn't have his, he had his aura when he came out. You know what I mean? And did his thing and he got in the ring. And after about 5 minutes, I was like, Rick looks, I don't know, you know, like it almost looks like Vince had more charisma than Rick. And that's absolutely not correct, you know, at all. So yep. Yeah, that actually makes sense. That makes sense.
Fun fact, this is Ric Flair's first match since the doors closed on WCW.
Wow. So, how old is Vince here?
Oh, 56. If I can look like that at 56, I think I'll be okay.
56. Hey, listen, Vince is obviously on some type of juice.
Genetic jackhammer that he is.
But hey, listen, you still got to, the way he looks here, you still got to eat right and you still got to move some weight, you know? So I'm not going to knock him for that.
Yeah. But if you think about it, it's March of 2001 to now January of 2002. So it was he was probably working some, you know, he was probably working during that time. But as far as we could see on TV, it was a 10 month break for him. For yeah. being in the ring. Yep. So confidence be damned there, but you already know the result. Ric Flair is gonna win this. His whole thing here, Flair's whole shtick is that he's got a lead pipe that he's been taking to Vince now for weeks, and so lays into Vince with the pipe, locks in the figure four. He tapped probably about half the time it took for Triple H to pin Booker T at WrestleMania. So it's a pretty long time. But I think entertainment is the focus here.
Yeah. And it definitely delivers on that.
So then backstage, Michael Cole talking to Nick Patrick. Stephanie McMahon interrupts and says that Triple H is the Royal Rumble favorite. Stone Cold comes up from behind her. And the infamous now Stone Cold catchphrase. No, not give me a hell yeah. No, not that's the bottom line. What?
Yeah, and people are running with it. This was an interesting thing. One, go back and look at this card. Your boy Michael Cole's got his sleeves rolled up. He's got some mini guns going on. Go back and look at that. Yeah. He's got some mini guns going on. He's got a little bit of pecs going on. Listen, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. Everybody doesn't have to look like the Rock and Triple H to be in, you know, to be some type of jack. Stephanie McMahon is great. She has always been the natural progression. She is Vince McMahon. Everybody wanted to be Shane, but no, she actually has the gift of gab and has all of that heel, bitchy, what was her thing when authority, you know, she has it all. She's a smoke show to boot. There's that. You also have crinkled hair. At 2002. Kids, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go look it up.
We'll just stop.
And then Stone Cold. Stone Cold is Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I just don't understand. Well, I take it back. I do understand. But in a world that we live in where like everybody comes back, man, I just would like Stone Cold to just give us just one more.
Just one. Listen, if Sting can do it, Stone Cold can do it. Okay.
And no, it doesn't have to be no death match, no burning ladder. Like, no, just one good match. Probably Rock or Triple H.
It's got to be The Rock. If there's going to be a Stone Cold Steve Austin match,
that's how I feel. Yes.
Yeah.
It's got to be The Rock. And I mean, it can go 7-8 minutes. It doesn't have to go 30. But you know, again, that's I'm the king of wishful thinking.
Yeah. Speaking of The Rock, moving on to the co-main event here, for the undisputed WWF Championship, it is Chris Jericho defending against The Rock. This is pretty damn good. Not gonna pull any punches on this one, but this is
overbooked, but it's
good. To hell, yes.
But I mean, when we go back and watch these old shows, what isn't overbooked at this point?
You can just see here that just Jericho's just got it, you know. And
if I could
do it, yeah.
This is the Chris Jericho that some of those old farts fell in love with. If I'm speaking to the 2017 wrestling watchers, that wrestling didn't start until then. Believe it or not, wrestling was going on before then, and the Lionheart Chris Jericho is also nothing to shake a stick at either, but. This is Chris Jericho to me at his height. He's absolutely great. His in-ring is amazing. He's good on the mic. This iteration of Jericho we have now, it's not that it's bad, but it's wrestling is my own personal playground now. And I think Jericho's at his best when he has some type of rules, some type of regulation to some extent. And I'm sure Vince put some stuff on him, but this match is great. It's overbooked. It's Rock. It's everything you want. The crowd's hot for both of these guys. And everybody says, I think we just take for granted. Younger wrestling fans take for granted. All these people that we think now, Omega, Hangman Page, and all these, you know, guys that are like, oh, well, they're the guy, they're the champions. When you go back and you look at Rock and you look at, I hate him, but you look at Triple H, you look at Stone Cold, you look at Kurt Angle, Undertaker, I'm not a fan of his, but no, those are real guys that are over, really over. And I guess, maybe what I'm saying here is that the bar is just different now and crowds are different now, like we touched on earlier. But these are real guys that you could pass the strap to any of these four or five guys. And, you know, the ball, it just kept going. I don't know. Again, I'm a purist. I'm probably too far the other way. But what do you think, Kyle?
I think you're spot on, honestly. I think there's no better way to put it. I think this is there are so many things I think we want in professional wrestling. And you made the comparison between Jericho now and Jericho here, or even Jericho the Lion Tamer, or, you know, Lionheart Chris Jericho. I think there's so much need for fair weather, older fans like ourselves to dig and pull from the past. I think they make that comparison between Jericho now, Jericho then, and just to take an example, you know, and they can't pull themselves out of the fact that people get old. People get old, yeah. And people, I mean, Sting's a great example. Okay, can Sting do anything that he did in the mid 90s? Yeah,
no.
And look, the way he's being booked with AEW, I was very critical at first about it because I'm like, oh, they're gonna rocket ship this motherfucker to the moon, you know. And they are booking him incredibly strong, but not putting him at the forefront of everything, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
that's just one example. You look at somebody like The Rock when he came back in the early 2010s. You know, there was no way, you know, he's a freak of nature, obviously. He's a workout machine. And he's probably the one rare exception to, hey, you know, you haven't been active in a ring in 7-8 years. You'll come back and do this. And, you know, he's main eventing WrestleManias with Cena and, you know, matches with CM Punk. And, you know, one of the rare exceptions, I think, to that. But I really think that's what it is. It's the fact that our inner child almost wants to pull the nostalgia forward as guys get older. Chris Jericho is the best example, like I said, because everybody's like, Chris Jericho is great. He's awesome. He can do no wrong. Yes, he can. Okay. He didn't have a great 2021. And, you know, call me, you know, you better damn call me a purist. Okay. There was maybe a third of his singles matches that were actually decent. Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know. This is a long road. I think we could fly down, and a lot of examples of us trying to recreate the past. But
it's. Oh, go ahead.
No, you're good. Good.
And listen, we're not on here saying that, like, oh, everything in the past is better than everything now. No, it's not. There were mummy matches. There was a Dungeon of Doom. There was just all types of stuff that was absolutely terrible. So that's not what we're saying. If you listen to our show, listen to our WCW pay-per-views, and trust me, and it's not. I promise you it's not. The physical specimens now are just on another level. We're not arguing the wrestling. It's just, I think people just don't understand how over wrestling was. And again, and I'm guilty of this too. I don't know everything about wrestling because there was wrestling before me and there's going to be wrestling after. I do my homework. You know, when I'm dead in the ground, wrestling will still be going on. But it's what people, if you've lived it and you've seen it, it's different than going back and watching it. And that's fair for on all levels, us included. You know, I love older wrestling more than anything else. I mean, like 70s and 80s. That's actually probably the best wrestling of all time, my personal opinion, whatever. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I just don't think now with social media and everything, and we just want to say like GOAT and this and the greatest and this, and like, yeah, yes, but because you guys haven't watched enough wrestling. But go ahead, Kat. Sorry, we're gonna talk all day about this if we keep rolling.
No, this is the one singles match out of the five we've talked about you need to go watch. I think the street fight's entertaining. I think the women's match you can skip, unfortunately. As much as William Regal Mark says we are, you can skip that. The tag team match is okay. This is the creme de la creme here as far as matches on the card outside of the Royal Rumble. And just good ring psychology from Jericho. Oh, and we were on quotes a little while ago. We're back to one, and JR was the best at it. That damn Nick Patrick. Just he's not wrong.
100% correct.
Yeah,
he's 100% not wrong. Correct.
Yeah. But in the end, Jericho low blows Rock as Earl Hebner is out, because Earl Hebner was the original official here.
Overbooked, but
yeah. Throws him into the turnbuckle, schoolboys him, gets his feet on the ropes for leverage, as any great heel would do. Gets the three count and the win. Overbooked, like we said. There are better Rock Jericho matches, but as far as the one match outside of the Rumble to watch, you got to watch this one.
Let me ask you this. Is Rock there's a generation of, again, kids now where Rock just does movies. He's not an actual wrestler to them. You know, if you're what, 15, 10, or I don't know, if you're 20, you've probably seen more of Rock doing movies or, you know, whatever. But is Rock, I mean, he's got to be one of the most over guys ever. And I mean ever. Like, you may not like the Attitude Era, and that's fine. And again, I'm not here beat the drum saying it's the best era not alive, because it's not. But I mean, if you're talking like top 10 guys, you know, let me ask you this. Who's more over, Rock or Austin? Sorry to put you on the spot.
During this period in time?
Well, yeah.
Just overall. This period.
Yeah. Yeah, let's say overall.
Overall, I'd probably say Rock, because even when he wasn't over, he was getting booed out of the building, and that forced the heel turn, and he was more over.
Well, so, I know what I'm going to say doesn't make any sense. It's like The Rock's not more over than Stone Cold, but he is. I know it's completely BS in the question I just asked you. But God, you understand what, but you get what I'm saying, though, right? Yeah. Like, he isn't. He's not.
Yeah.
But he absolutely is.
I think a good way to look at it is at the height of Stone Cold Steve Austin, which would be dead center in the middle of the Attitude Era. I think there's nobody hotter than Austin. I think when he quote unquote took his ball and went home, The Rock was still here. When he came back, that pop was dynamite.
While we're on that, Rock does it, nobody cares. CM Punk does it. He's, you know, he's world's worst person, but go ahead. I'm sorry. Stone Cold does it, nobody cares. Rock does it. I mean, CM Punk does it, and it's all hell breaks loose, but go ahead.
So we're talking about most over. Right now, they were both making a return run. Who's more over?
Like, if they were doing it right now?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Stone Cold, because you've been beaten over the... No, because you've been beaten over the head. Not beaten over the head, but Rock. You can go on a streaming service now and not even WWE and see Rock.
Yeah.
You know, Stone Cold is, you know, if I can MF coronavirus, because 316, I was going to Pittsburgh to see Austin, and coronavirus ruined that. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
The only thing I would say to that is you have to look at WWE's demographic at the moment and what their target audience is. And I think that the pop for Austin would be great. I think the pop for The Rock would be nuclear, crazy.
No, you know what? Now that I think about it, I'm forgetting that I'm old. You're right. Stone Cold would come back and people would, you know, some people would be like, oh, is this like Goldberg's, is this Goldberg light? You know what I'm saying? So the way we looked at Goldberg compared to Stone Cold, it'd be the opposite way now. And that's the world I don't want to live in. So, but you're right.
All right, let's get to it. Royal Rumble time. We're gonna do our best here, everybody. So just we'll probably go a couple at a time here. Yeah. Let's see which. How do I want it? Okay, here we go. This is the one I want to do. I've got two different lists here, and the way I wanted to go about it. So obviously you get number one being Rikishi. Number two, the returning Goldust. The pop for him was more than I thought.
Yeah, he's in good shape too here.
Yeah.
Compared to kind of what he was when he was, you know, I don't know, going through some things.
I think it's an up and down roller coaster here, because I think what we'll see over the next couple of years with, or I guess the next year to year and a half, is Gold Dust's run with Booker T. Was that this? That was this run. Yeah. So this is probably the height, I would think, of Gold Dust, because there was no more over tag team, honestly, as far as popularity goes, when you look at Gold Dust and Booker T.
Mm-hmm.
But this is his return. Awesome. Number three, we get the Boss Man. And then number four, we get Bradshaw, and he's getting everything that's Gold Dust. We get Boss Man gets a stink face, and then he gets tossed via a super kick from Rikishi, as he would say. And not too far after this, the Boss Man would be gone. His last match was in May. Then he got taken off of the road after a vehicle accident, and then he passed in 04. Good Lord.
And he's coming, I mean, not fresh off, but he's coming off of that Vince's personal security, you know, for a little bit.
Yeah. Fun fact, in 92, the Big Boss Man was ranked in the top 20 of the PWI 500.
Ooh, yeah, I mean, 92. Well, 92, he was probably still Big Boss Man, but he was, Bubba for, he was Cornette's bodyguard for the Midnights for a little bit.
Yeah,
but we won't bore you with that.
And then number five, we get Lance Storm. If we could be serious for just a moment, not much going on, honestly. We're just building this with a lot of lower mid card guys. Number six is Al Snow.
Yep.
Number seven is Billy Gunn.
And then business picks up right after that.
Yeah. Billy Gunn does eliminate. Gosh, just lost it. My apologies. He does eliminate Bradshaw. And then number eight is The Undertaker.
There we go.
Everybody panics. We get Billy Gunn gone, Al Snow, Goldust, Rikishi. And then we get Matt Hardy at number nine.
Jeff at 10.
Yeah, Jeff at 10. I believe he dumps both of them in the process. Yeah. And then here we go. Here is, I think, one of the moments that people remember the most out of this Rumble is number 11, and that's Maven. Jeff, what are your thoughts on Maven?
I never liked Maven. I just wasn't a fan of his. You also know I'm a Raven mark. I thought it was too close to Raven when I was like younger. I know that makes no sense, but you know, two completely deals, but I don't know. I'm not saying the guy couldn't wrestle, but I mean, really in hindsight, I mean, he had what, a cup of coffee with what, you know, a substance problem and some other stuff. And, you know,
yeah,
a lot of stuff going on.
There's a lot going on. Maven was the inaugural winner of Tough Enough. Him and Nidia.
Oh man, that's a name I haven't
thought
about in years.
Remember when she was blind?
Remember when we said, guys, that everything in the past is better than everything now?
Not.
This is one of those times.
Do you remember why she was blind?
I don't, God.
Tajiri misted her in the face.
Now I'm all about it now. Never mind. Take that
back. You're in now.
So, guys, remember when I said that everything in the past was better than everything in the future?
Yeah.
Or everything now? I stand corrected.
Yeah. Yeah. So we get the big elimination. Taker kind of standing tall as he eliminates the Hardys and then has his back turned. Rookie mistake in the Rumble. Maven with the dropkick of death. Taker with a pretty good bump to the outside. Loud pop. Like,
yeah.
This is a hard pop. And then JR loses his mind on commentary. By God! By God! Maven eliminated Undertaker.
By God.
And then it was like just the wave of emotion from Maven. And it's like, hey, oh, I just eliminated the Undertaker.
It's cool. And the Undertaker commits to wearing you out like a just beating the brakes off of him.
We've talked about some nasty chair shots on this show before. Not one you're gonna see. This is probably top 10 worst unprotected chair shots I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty rough one. And just, obviously, you know, guys are, you know, taught to protect themselves, get their hand up. I'm talking no effort to get the hands up here. Maven showing he's still super green. And then
maybe feeling he has to, you know, I've got to pay my dues.
Yeah. Well, somebody who's paid more than their dues and always gets the short end of the stick in the friggin' Rumble. Number 12 is Scotty Too Hotty.
And he got his moment though.
God, yeah. Lad in the year prior's Rumble in 2001, It was the Undertaker and Kane that had just cleaned house, and they're standing. They're the only ones standing in the ring, and then here comes Scotty Too Hotty, and it's like, oh my God, come on, again.
DDP chucks him.
I think
tosses him. Remember, serves me correct.
I think. But yeah, he's coming down. He gets beat up. And then to tie up the Undertaker Maven saga there. He beats him up through the crowd, up to the concessions, throws him into a popcorn machine. And Maven's obviously busted open at this point. And then Taker eats some of the popcorn on the way out. Which is, who knows if it had any blood on it or whatnot. But yeah, that is like the first 11 to 12 guys of the field, like gone.
Yep.
Undertaker eliminated 7, including Maven. Very mid-card, lower mid-card stocked here in the first part of this. But we get Scotty Too Hotty. He's eliminated by Diamond Dallas Page. We get we get Christian.
Christian.
At last, he's on his own. We get Chuck Palumbo, number 15.
Chuck Palumbo is just no. He is Chuck.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it just said Chuck, and his blonde hair and his red little get up. He looked like, you know, an extra from American Gladiators.
This is not yet. They were Billy and Chuck here, but not. I don't really know how to describe it, because you get Lawler on commentary throwing all the gay jokes out there. Now again, I know everybody's listening to this. Okay, 20 years ago, okay, it was commonplace for some people to throw around the term gay the way that it was. Mm-hmm.
No, we're not condoning it or saying it's right. Everybody, hold on to your britches. Have mercy.
Yeah.
It's obviously not. We're just talking about history, the past, that we cannot change. Sorry, yeah. God.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh. Number 16, speaking of something that's probably not condoned in this day and age, the Godfather. Let me tell you, It takes so long to get him and all the hoes out that DDP gets eliminated.
And he goes back for seconds or thirds. He comes out, brings like 4, goes back, brings some more, goes back, brings some more. They dance, and he gets halfway down the ramp, says, you know what? I'm not done. Goes back up, dances with the hoes some more. He's also wearing like a full snakeskin get up. There's that.
Look, if you
in the 2000s,
if you needed any idea as to who the Godfather is, what the gimmick is, gosh, this is it. Okay, he goes for thirds, and then each time it gets a pop, and
if I could give you a funny story really fast,
oh, absolutely,
again. I love The Matrix. People may not, whatever. I love the franchise. I'll never forget my aunt watching wrestling one day. And I forgot who came to that. I think it was Edge and Christian or Edge or it was something like that. And my aunt said, so she watched that with me, you know, and they were in full leather, whatever. And then we watched The Matrix, not back to back, but however long ago it was after that. And my aunt says, why are they dressed like wrestlers? in the movie, why are they dressed like wrestlers? And you know what? She wasn't wrong. She wasn't wrong at all for the time period.
Yeah. And then right after the Godfather, we get Albert. Both are eliminated in pretty quick fashion. Perry Saturn, number 18.
Love me Perry Saturn.
Yeah. Don't know what he's wearing, but I mean
cow print trunks. Why? I have no idea.
Yeah, I. Well, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. All right, doesn't matter, because number 19 is Stone Cold, okay, and he just starts chucking people left and right. It's almost the whole field, almost at this point. Eliminates Christian, eliminates Chuck, eliminates Perry Saturn. Sorry. In the midst of all this, we get number 20 is Val Venus, who we're talking about Vince McMahon being a little yoked. Like, talk about just Val Venus here. Like, it's
yeah. He's not like too far off of being Triple H. I mean, he's not, but he ain't too far from it.
Yeah. Then we attest to 21. Austin dispatches of them. 22 is the game. Triple H. He just made his return a couple weeks back. To one of the loudest pops, I think, in professional wrestling history. Just everything was perfect. Just they were in a big wrestling city. Triple H been gone for a while. This is prototypical Triple H, like bad assery, I think, coming out in the all denim and the denim vest and just.
When he came out here, it reminded me, it just stirred up a bunch of old emotions. I was a Rock guy. My brother was a Triple H guy. So seeing this guy come out here and like pour water on his head and be a tough guy and shoot water out his mouth and like, I hate Triple H.
Yeah. So the whole entrance almost takes the whole two minutes.
Of course it does, because it's Triple H, COD. Sorry.
Why not? You know.
Spoiler alert, Triple H wins it.
Oh my God.
It's only been out 21 years. Jeez.
Well, Jeff, stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
It wasn't good enough.
Gosh, it's so good. And Hurricane comes in the ring, and it's Austin and Trips. And he tries to choke slam them both. And there's this kind of breaking of character here where they look at each other like, they're like, is this really what's going on right now? And then they just both chuck him and they just go back to just whooping each other. It's a great spot in this entire Rumble. It's really good. So then he was number 23. Number 24 is Farouk. He gets tossed in short order. And then number 25. Okay, probably one of the greatest to not win a world heavyweight championship. That would be Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig, making his return as Mr. Perfect. Just you just heard his theme hit, and you're just like, he still got it.
I love Mr. Perfect. I love Kurt Hennig. If you know me, you know Fisherman Suplex is my favorite move of all time. His is a thing of beauty. Everything he does is perfect, and rap is crap. And I think that just about sums up everything else I can say about Mr. Perfect.
Yeah. Number 26, we get Kurt Angle. And just everybody in the field right now, still, we've got Stone Cold Steve Austin, Triple H, Mr. Perfect, and now Kurt Angle. So this is a very backloaded Rumble. Because Austin was 19, you know, and
yeah.
Spoiler alert, he is the Iron Man in this Rumble. But yeah, then we get number 27 is the Big Show. Still don't care about the Big Show. Sorry.
No, they ruined him.
Number 28 is Kane. During that, Big Show gets angled, slammed out of the ring, which is great. And then, Kane gets booted out himself. Crazy sequence. After last year, you would think that, and this is 2001 talking, Kane was the Iron Man in that match. And, you know, he was in there for over 50 minutes. And this year he's out in a minute. You know, just.
Yeah. You touched on it earlier where I was about to get into it. But this back 10, maybe, you know,
fans a couple.
Yeah. Back 7, you know, it's just loaded.
Yeah. Number 29 is Rob Van Dam, and number 30 is Booker T. Booker T. Sorry, go ahead.
Cod, was Van Dam not absolutely over?
Over, to take a phrase from Matt Lilly, over like Rover. Like,
I mean, he came out and the roof blew off of that place.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. Booker T comes in, he eliminates Rob Van Dam. Austin eliminates Booker T. That leads to our final four, which is the same as when I checked in the last time. It's Austin, Triple H, Angle, and Mr. Perfect. Now, Mr. Perfect in the final four here, it's a lot of faith to put into somebody that was with another promotion, kind of bounced around between coming back.
But this is the stuff that they used to do, like when Eddie won the belt. This is the stuff that they used to do just to give you, you know, you're watching it and you're like, well, there's no way Mr. Perfect's going to win, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. There's no way he's going to win. Like, you know he's not going to win, but why is he in there at the last four, you know? Mm-hmm. So just little stuff like that. They would still every now and then give you something where they make you think about it. And like I said, again, the internet wasn't super, I mean, it was around, but dirt sheets weren't full blown open like they are in 2010. And like they were in 02, but man, you know, they used to get you every now and then.
Mm-hmm. So the Kurt connection tries to get rid of Austin. Doesn't work. Austin tries to get rid of Mr. Perfect. Angle sneaks behind Austin and eliminates him. This might be the only Rumble he's been eliminated from.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah.
Because he's got 3 wins under his belt.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the other times either he was competing for the title or he held the title.
Yep.
Austin grabs a chair, hits everyone, leaves. Mr. Perfect with the perfect plex on Kurt Angle, but Triple H dumps him afterwards. So now we're down to the final two. It's Triple H and Kurt Angle. And Kurt Angle tries throwing him over the top over and over, but Triple H throws out Angle, wins. Yep. He is the man of the hour, the man with the power. This was
sweet to be sour.
Yeah, so overall with this, just the Royal Rumble match itself, overall thoughts.
this was a solid Rumble. They're not wrong with going for Triple H just because he's hot, you know, with his return. So they're not wrong with going with Trips. But I mean, that's also par for the course. But, you know, we'll get into that another time. But this was a good Rumble. And I've said it on the show. I believe I said it on this show. But I think Kurt Angle, and maybe he gets a pass because he was an actual, like, legit Olympic wrestler, collegiate wrestler, professional wrestler. But he may be the best of, like, the non-wrestling guys. As in, you know, as in someone who came from the outside in, you know, who wasn't really good in the ring and couldn't and wasn't good on the mic, or really good on the mic and not good in the ring. And I know this is Tripp's moment, but I think Angle just gets overlooked for some of his stuff because he is absolutely that guy in the ring.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I would have spaced it out a little more because we talked about it already with how backloaded this thing was. But, you know, you look at the eliminations of guys like The Big Show and Kane, and those are big name guys, you know, and you would expect them to be in the Rumble a little longer. I think them getting dumped as quick as they did, it didn't hurt them obviously in the long run, but I think in the short term, keep them in there a little longer.
Yeah.
But this Rumble match was almost 70 minutes. At times it felt like it did, other times it didn't. I think Triple H was the right choice at the time.
I think the time was, I think they got hung up on the time because you sowed the seeds for Undertaker and the Maven thing. And I think that's what kind of put you, because if you're going to do all that, then you have your jobbers up front, obviously. So, you know, you got him throwing out all these guys, you know, and then you're telling that story. So then, like you said, then you got the end that's backloaded. But I mean, to be fair to them, though, it was a lot. They accomplished a lot of storylines and a lot in this, in the frame of time that they had. I mean, obviously it could have been 10, 15 minutes shorter, but I think everything was kind of right where it needed to be, if that makes a little sense.
Yeah. So Triple H would go on to WrestleMania. He would challenge Chris Jericho for the Undisputed title. I'll let you watch that one on your own. Just I would say with that match, the result would have been better had it been placed on the card a little differently. Now I'm talking about WrestleMania X8 going down the line here a little bit. Obviously, we didn't know what we had in our hands, but, you know, you had Rock Hogan. Like,
yep.
I would say it's easily one of the at least top 20 WrestleMania matches in history. Easily.
Absolutely.
I think it's got a challenge for top 10, honestly. But you swap those two, and I think the reaction to Triple H winning is a lot greater. I think the Toronto crowd, it really just took a lot out of that. And I don't think a 6-minute women's match in between did much for that.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. That's it for this Royal Rumble. Still, this was pretty solid. The next one we're going to watch is not...
what do we have next in first match?
All right, so the next one we're taking a look at is Royal Rumble 2003. And the first match, there's a heat match, but skip that. The first match is The Big Show with Paul Heyman versus Brock Lesnar.
You said it again, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay. It's The Big Show with Paul Heyman taking on Brock Lesnar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I always ask because that usually tells you somewhat of a time or frame of reference to, you know what I'm saying, what's going on, you know, in that cycle of WWE, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is going to be an interesting one for us to look at. I think there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah. I'm all in.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So that's all we have for this edition of the Retro Review. As always, I want to thank Sunny Kiss for the endorsement. You can find Sunny Kiss on Twitter at SunnyKissXO. You can find us on Twitter as well. It is at the WP underscore pod. That's THEWP underscore pod. Once you get to our Twitter, you can get to our personal Twitters. We got a TikTok, y'all. That's right. We got a TikTok now.
Man, look at that. I'm full disclosure, I don't know how TikTok works, but hey, check it out. I'm sure Cod's TikToking us.
Listen, I'm TikToking the time away. That's what I'm doing.
Okay, all right, I'll take it.
So, I primarily use the TikTok instead of like burning episodes of the podcast to things that you've already seen, watched, already reacted to. I'm using the TikTok in real time to react to whatever's going on. So I did New Year's Evil. I did Dynamite. I did Battle of the Belts and Hard to Kill at the same time. I do breaking news on there when we found out on Friday that Mickey James was in the Rumble. So that is TWP underscore TT. The TT stands for TikTok, from what I'm told. But yeah, we are everywhere now. So if you like what you're doing, if you like what we're doing, you like what you're listening to, you want to support us, you can buy us coffee. That would be buymeacoffee.com/TWP pod, TWPPOD. You can donate anywhere from as little as a dollar to as much as you want. Anything is greatly appreciated. Jeff, where can they find you on the Twitter machine?
I am a simple man. I am Jeff M. Hall 1 at Twitter. On Twitter.
Yeah.
You guys get it.
Yeah. You guys are listening to us on Apple or Spotify or Amazon or Google or one of our other various platforms that we're on. Guys, share us, subscribe, get us out there. This is the year of the wrestling purists, okay? 2022 is still fresh. It's still new. Share us. Let your friends listen to us. Let your friends bury us, okay? Let your friends bury what we're so opinionated on, okay? Yeah. Maybe they think that, you know, with Jeff being a CM Punk guy, CM Punk's the worst thing that's ever happened in professional wrestling. Tag us. Tag us on Twitter. Get at us. We want to have some interaction. You know, we want to expand this a little bit. So again,
there's nothing wrong with talking wrestling. I mean, that's what we're here to do, right? So listen, add us or do whatever you need to do. Let's do it.
Yeah. And that's the best thing about professional wrestling in my eyes is it's essentially the melting pot of just all human life. You know, you don't have to be, now I'm going to get all friggin' serious here. You don't have to be a single gender or a single race or anything like that to like professional wrestling. You know, just come as you are, you know, and look, we are the wrestling purists, so you better come correct. But, you know, I think there are ways to go about discussion about professional wrestling. And a lot of times on Twitter, it gets really nasty. But we're civilized people. We want to have legitimate conversation about what's going on in professional wrestling. So Jeff M. Hall won, me, Coach Cod, the show, the WP underscore pod. Follow us, share us with your friends. If they don't like something we say, tell them to come at us. We'll have a chit chat. We'll have a fireside chat. Yeah.
Let's do it.
That is all for this episode, everybody. I appreciate all of the support. And as always, above all, stay pure. We'll see you next time. We'll be right back.